And we can pass judgment.
What else is there for childhood?
See? I wanted you to feel right at home.
Just like AA. Yeah, me too.
I can offer some opening remarks, or you can give me a little something to go on as to what you may have, you know, read or heard that made this something you might like to participate in. Again, there's no test or anything.
I just like the word inquiry. Ah. Especially without the
I would have permission. Have you been exposed to what's called so-called inquiry in the non-dual Advaita world? Uh-huh. You've read everything that Eckhart Tolle's written? Not at all.
That's good.
That's good.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Besides the word inquiry, which is, of course, more than sufficient.
That's it.
That was it. There's no other context.
No.
All right.
I was looking for something to do on Thursday night.
Yeah. Well, you found it. Pretty much doing nothing.
Or inquiry.
Yeah. When it comes to, let's say, call them spiritual pursuits or contemplative pursuits, do you have a background in that at all?
I practice meditation and something called focusing. And
focusing, Eugene Gendling's work?
Yeah. I've been studying for 5 years. I'm a teacher of it and
nice.
A practitioner.
That's wonderful, yeah. Focusing's good stuff. It's right up, it's kind of pretty much right up this alley.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. And your contemplative stuff's been casual or through some kind of Buddhist or Hindu thing?
Casual.
Yeah.
I like the term.
Yeah.
Keep that.
Real nice.
Raised Catholic but didn't pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, tell us a little bit about the focusing work. Let's say as you mature in that discipline as a course of study or as a practitioner or a recipient, where does it go? Where would one hope to go or hope to discover?
I think when I have a good focusing session, I have an experience of quietness inside, all the places inside that are making noise or have quieted down, and there's a sense of integration and wholeness, and sometimes I can perceive the universe in my own body.
So that's
been my biggest experience.
Perceiving the universe in your own body. Right.
Yeah.
Without weight loss, of course. Weight gain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that takes integration to a whole new level, right?
Depends whether you're feeling yourself as the quantum universe. Or
yeah, which universe, you're feeling yourself as. That's
right. There were no questions asked. I was just aware of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So would you say that universe was the one that we see, pictures of through the Hubble telescope or something a little different than what someone might illustrate or identify as the universe?
Say perhaps. That was what visually I was aware of, but it was more of a felt experience.
Yeah. I mean, the universe is good, but it can almost be an arbitrary reference to what it was that was actually, let's say, being felt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so the focusing is, can we use the word, a textural approach, right? Awareness is paying more attention to the texture of present experience than necessarily recounting storyboards, right?
No storyboards. Well, storyboards might start off. It might start off as a storyboard, but it goes very quickly into experience.
But people will tend to use either somatic or emotional language to begin to describe or communicate felt experience.
Yeah, and I think that we consider the highest to be when you can't use words to describe the experience.
That's where I was going, yeah.
The highest piece.
Right. So we can start off with storyboard and then true attention to present felt experience.
Right.
Then we might use the emotional phraseology or somatic phraseology to attempt to communicate, and then awareness becomes more subtle of its own self-referencing or its own luminous nature. Yeah. And
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's most highest when someone says, I don't have words for this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so that's pretty much exactly what we do. Yeah. And since the that curious capacity for depthful self-reflection without storyboarding is fundamental, you can, if you're skilled, right, you can use any handle or portal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To go in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. So when focusing is used therapeutically, is that to help someone work out stuff necessarily, or it's not even that important?
It starts out for people who aren't trained, I guess, although it's a natural process.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are more inclined than others toward it.
Yeah.
It starts out as what you said, and then it can become whatever it becomes. So it can start out as working on an issue of some sort.
Yeah.
An invitation to listen in a different way, and then it can become...
Lovely.
Then it can unravel in whatever way.
Yeah.
That I don't have any...
Sure. So, I mean, it's archetypally open-ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Does it have a Jungian relationship?
Yeah, I think I can't imagine how it couldn't.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
How does Eugene talk about the unfolding of the discovery in his own experience? I mean, I'm sure there could be novels written about
it. I'm taking a class with him right now, and he calls...
How old is he now?
Right, 83.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are these called?
On the phone.
Wow. On the phone?
Yeah.
I want to totally jump in on that shit.
He's in a home with like an assistant or something.
Yeah.
And my teacher, he's not my teacher.
I see.
He's Carl Rogers' teacher, and my teacher is his student. And
right.
My teacher facilitates him. So he's on the phone with her on the phone. She's in California. He's in New York. And he's an assistant, I guess, somebody to help him because you can just hear how old he is.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, to answer your question, I think that, this is his latest thing, is that he's just saying this.
How curious, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
some of us know a guy from California named Peter that, has done that a lot.
Said that.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just, this, has emphasized this. And everyone's like, this what? Like, no, I mean, like, fucking this.
I think Jean is referring to whatever shows up in the body, what the body being, not just this physical body, but the body of spaces and as a practice, just calling it this. And,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's his latest.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Does he use the word autopoiesis at all? Does he have any relationship with that guy?
No.
Yeah. Because that's another phrase that, is also referring to the improvisational way and this, in the way that you're showing up. Just this. Yeah, just showing up like this.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a way to hold all of it, to see it in a bigger way, and obviously not to provide labels that much for it.
Right. Good meeting, everyone. Pizza? Yeah. Yes. The the nuanced capacity of what we might call a conformist mind to defer or deny the lovely sense of this is legend, right? Mind, that's its nature. Mind runs. It creates association and metaphor and builds a virtual universe in which it can imagine it dwells in. And so the organic, you know, felt sense of this being this can be easily, what would you say, you know, drowned out. Mm-hmm. Right. So we use gossip and humor sometimes, and anything we can get our hands on, you could say, as you know, shoots and ladders to play around with the texture of present experience. Yeah. So rather than you know, a body of teaching or meditation or practice or anything leading anywhere, the emphasis is on exactly, you know, where Eugene is pointing to. Present experience is never what we think it is, and anything that we might think it is going to be a contrivance out of conditioning or arbitrary factors that place us as, you know, body, mind, creature in the center of an imaginary universe, either suffering the vicissitudes of everything that's not going my way or taking prideful delight in the shit that might be going my way. Yeah. And the underneath that is this, as you so well articulate, you know, a texture of listening or a texture of stillness that is no longer demanding metaphor and representation. So one sense of psychological time, implication, future thinking can just absolutely relax. And then we make fun of people. There's not much left to do.
Yeah, ourselves.
Some of us come at this, you know, from Buddhist, you know, background or Hindu background. We can throw some words around like non-duality, Advaita, Dzogchen, Kashmiri Shaivism, you know, other Gnostic schools of thought that you could say all had this organic instinct of this at their root. And then through you know, cultural milieu, they developed whatever kind of curious, you know, liturgy and litany of how to get this, how to remember it, how to practice it, you know, what it's about, what it's not about. And the, you know, you could say part of the fun is distilling down these great bodies of you know, tradition. And return, not that anyone's ever left, the delicious dumbfoundedness of present experience, free from the, you know, the pushiness of utility or, you know, the appetite to derive something from experience or make experience about something. Yeah. You know, to participate in the world of imagination as if something has actually happened to you, is happening to you now, and is surely going to happen to you in some imagined future. And it's fun just to see where awareness goes or how it exposes itself to itself. When the the myth of creature in a realm operating in time, politically correctly or otherwise, just evaporates.
We're
going to
do that tonight.
We just did. Yeah. I missed it. It only lasted about this.
Really quick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or not.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear a funny story?
Absolutely.
So Sunday we were hanging out, right? And like everything was like normal. You know, I didn't have like any, you know, issues arising or anything. But I have been like slowly rehumanizing since I went to Peru. I did ayahuasca there, and that really really did something to me. But so, yeah, I leave there Sunday. I go into work, and like I don't know, I can't remember what exactly triggered it. But like I fell into a depression like I haven't felt in like 10 years.
You're not supposed to go to work after meditation.
Oh, you didn't get the memo.
No, I missed that memo. But it was like middle of like crushing heroin addiction, like the worst.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there.
You had
like,
a major visitation.
Yeah. It's not even
speak to me for a minute.
Yeah, that was the last person.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Don't go to work and don't say goodbye to Francine.
And it's funny, too, because like as it comes, as it came, I'm like, okay, like, if, you know, just don't follow these crazy thoughts, you know. I'll be good if I just work, you know.
Yeah.
You know, hypnotize myself doing whatever, you know.
Sure.
So a couple hours pass. And it's getting worse.
Oh,
right?
Wow,
now,
yeah.
Like, you know, I've begun, like, trying to, like, you know, pseudo-psychoanalyze my way out of it, you know, use whatever, like, spiritual tricks I've, you know.
Sure, all the tricks, yeah.
But really, nothing is working. And I forget, like, where I ended up, but it was, you know, I'm using the stuff I had learned, you know, in the ayahuasca experience where, you know, things were much worse there. And I was like, oh, okay, if I just, you know, surrender to this, you know, complete and utter lack of free will, this expecting things to change. But it never did. There was never any release. I'm sitting there, I'm just like, what the?
Yeah.
I'm going around and around. I forget.
Nice.
I did something, and it, you know, a couple more things, and like nothing is working. I'm like, this is bad because, you know, I had experienced like deep sadness and this and that, and like this was like just like a soul sucking depression. Like,
nice.
It works, right?
God, and you had the best Sunday of all.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do, right? I'm around, and eventually, like,
what can you do?
Thought from like the exterior like hits me, and it was like the only reason any of this is here is like because I'm believing in it. And in like 1 second, it was just like gone.
Whoa.
I was back to like totally normal, not like happy or sad, just like
flat. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay.
It was just gone.
Right.
Just, like 1 second. I'm like,
sweet.
Oh, like that made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny. That's great.
Yeah. I haven't felt like that in years. That was.
Yeah.
That was something.
Well, you know, in a homeopathic discipline, right, there's a deep healing and superficial healing. You know, you make a window at the superficial levels, call it, you know, coherence, clarity at the superficial levels, which opens a portal for deep healing that's trapped, right, at a more subtle vibratory level that if you give it, you know, a little portal, it right, it pours out. That's how it pours out. So yeah, that makes perfect sense.
That's what I like too, is that, like, you know, did all this reading, you know, and I still do too, but, you know, a lot when I was younger, you know, 10 years ago, whatever, you know, over the years, and like people describe their experience of their journey.
Yeah.
And now it's like this stuff has begun happening to me like over the years. Still, I'm like, this is some bullshit. Like, I'm probably really a person. These people all been lying to me. Like, I still like doubt to like the umpteenth. Like, there's no such thing as freedom. Like, these people have just been, you know, just doesn't
nice.
It doesn't ever go away. At least it hasn't, you know.
Right.
The ever present doubt.
Sure. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I'm definitely suspect.
The Buddha spent a lot of time on doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like as a part, like just a person, like in general?
Well, specifically.
Or do you mean
you
like
know,
in a group?
One's journey.
Yeah.
How, doubt's a very subtle afflictor. And you could say the degree to which we're inhabiting as the person is the degree to which doubt has, right, influence. Because without the person being present, doubt's got no, it, you know, it can keep clawing, but it's on glass, it, you know, with olive oil, it's not going anywhere. Yeah. So it's really good to see, you know, these visitations that, well, I mean, they reveal something kind of, you know, very intimate, of course, and very curious about the nature of one's consciousness and the, can you say, the depths at which, right, these metaphors and associations are dwelling in us, which can't be found, you know, surgically. I mean, maybe, you know, John of God knows where to find them. But, well, yeah, I guess when a certain kind of opening happens and a certain kind of relaxation is happening, then these, you know, little shadows can... And that's how they run. They don't last a long time. They come on fiercely, unpredictably, absolutely intense, and you're... And then... out.
I mean, you know, you said it doesn't last a long time. I feel like if it wasn't, you know, whatever that thing hit me, who knows? Yes. You know, I feel like I could have just ran in that state, you know, almost indefinitely, you know, so to speak.
Could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't.
No, definitely not.
Right.
But I, you know, I'm just, I just feel like, you know, almost like lucky. Like, it's sort of like there's just some shit happening, and it's nice that, like, it appears this way, at least from a, you know, relative standpoint, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, even the harmonic of present experience, which we're so familiar with, so intimate with, you know, ourselves being ourselves, is not ourselves. I mean, you know, we're just noticing shit that's coming from who knows where, right? Wafting up through... Who knows if there's layers or not of whatever awareness is or isn't, and we're just more or less being portrayed to ourselves, and then we claim, you know, I. Maybe it's the, you know, there's that harmonic of familiarity that one knows one's experience and it's becomes accustomed to it. So it's easy to be hypnotized that, yeah, you think that this is you, right? That I have a part to play in how I'm seeing and feeling, you know, and or interpreting things. Yeah. When really, we're the last ones. We're the last ones to know.
That feeling can really fight to the end, you know, even if it's seen through at a time, and just like, oh, no, that was, you know, that, don't mind that, you know, we're back to the way we are, we're just going to continue, like, this is, you know.
Right.
Nothing to see here, you know, just
totally nothing to see here. Right, don't try this at home, move along.
But then I do, too, you know, it does seem like, you know, the volume has been turned up.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like...
Yeah. That's interesting, yeah. You know, when we're ourselves and not paying all that much attention to being ourselves, which of course is the, you know, the default, and there's no problem, you know, with it. What you say, you know, it's not a very demanding ping pong game. But if we get invited into we get invited into a texture that really leans into the magical capacity of clinging and not clinging, game on. Right? Yeah. But it makes sense that as a certain kind of habit or predilection of clinging starts to relax, you know, deeply and magically of its own accord, then, you know, these kinds of visitations can show up, make it look like, you know, you've got shackles around all four limbs and you're not going anywhere and just have no grip.
You really do, or, you know, could end up at least, you know, feeling powerless or having that experience. Like, it doesn't really matter to what height you've gone. Like, you can just be all taken away, like, instantly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. That's right.
Yeah.
If you've gotten to a height, yeah. That's right. It can be erased. Your altitude can be erased faster than you can imagine.
It's just crazy, too, because everyone just seems so confident, you know, like, oh, if I just do this, this, and it's like...
Yeah, that's right.
I just don't know where they get it from, you know.
I've never known.
Yeah.
I could. How are you so wonderful? I just, yeah.
You're just so fucked up.
So fucked up and so naturally, you know, depressed and self-sabotaging that I... You know, if I've had 5 minutes of confidence in my life, that's a lot.
Yeah, I feel like I could just have a stroke, like, at any time and just, like, hit the right point in the brain and go on and start, like, murdering people. Like, who knows, like...
Yeah. That's right. Like, that's right. You might be capable of great things. Now we're having fun. Yeah. We're proud of awareness. We're proud of attention. We're proud of discernment. We're proud of our capacity to, let's say, explore the textures of life, you know, therapeutically. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that pride, but we're enthralled. We're excited by, you know, possibilities expressing my magical powers, you know, in the world. How do I express my magical powers in the world, you know, through sensation and decision making and choice and lofty places spiritually or otherwise, or, you know, or arousing, you know, some people to talk to shit about, or going out to a meal that may or may not be great, or, right? I mean, we're just enthralled with all there is to do. Subtly and otherwise, a certain kind of, you know, pride and interest occurs. And then these, you know, very deep's an odd word, but sober moments, sober textures show up in consciousness, and all of that pride, all of the inertia of that playful pride is just wiped clean. There's no one, nothing left. You might call it, you know, discovering the universe in your body or something like that. Yeah. Just wiped clean. And what is that? You know, when you're wiped that clean, and there's just no pride left in you, there can't be any pride left in you. What is that? Is that awareness? Is that the absolute, you know, you want to find a Sanskrit word, you know, nirvikalpa samadhi, you know, that's it. So, you know, the texture of clinging and the texture of continuity, the myth of continuity of self, loves this, you know, having magical powers that can be exercised as the enjoyment of my experience. I'm all about that.
That's all I do.
That's right. Right. Yeah, what do you do? I just love this shit, man. You know, just love it. Like, watch me. Just watch me. I can go up to the buffet and I can go again. Yeah. So, you know, therein lies a certain kind of – apparent barrier to entry. Because the other side of pride is so pristine, so curiously without clinging and content, that you can't supplicate it. Because if you're supplicating, you're still back in the realm of, you know, a prideful, delightful, if not innocent, anticipation of, you know, cool shit to feel. Now, it doesn't have to be a quarrel between there being cool shit to feel and, you know, emptiness of pride, emptiness of anticipation, emptiness of, you know, clinging. There doesn't have to be a quarrel.
Yeah, can't they be both right along?
Well, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, one doesn't turn off for the benefit of the other, or one doesn't turn off at the expense of the other. Uh-huh. Kind of like certain rooms are unavoidable, you know. Even if someone could have, let's say, relieved you of, you know, a gnarly depression that knew no limits when you were 16 or whatever, you know, your karma might have said, you know, no, yeah, this sucks worse than I can imagine. No argument there. But yeah, don't take it away. It's like somehow whatever this is feeding on its own, you know, remarkable capacity to have, you know, depthful, weird fucking encounters with stuff that could be, you know, human and transhuman, super and subhuman. But it loves the discovery. I mean, sometimes that discovery, you know, will take someone's life, you know, do that. I mean, you know, this is not just like, oh, don't worry, everything will be okay. It's like, no, I'm going to fucking kill you. Yeah, everything will be okay. You're going to jump out of a window, you know, a hotel window into a pool of 30 stories, and that's how it's going to be okay. So it's not a Pollyanna thing. It's just, this is like, yeah.
That's right. What makes it real.
Yeah, kind of, right. It makes it look like visiting truth or consequences.
Or not.
Let's avoid that town.
Yeah.
We can. You know, you could also say it's as much an investigation into what is the nature of nourishment, the nature of consciousness, what's, you know, to use the phrase, feeding one's soul. And that's a really strange question. And if we're left to answer it, you know, we're going to come up short. If I'm asked and left to answer what's really feeding my soul, what's really nourishing me, I mean, it's going to be a Maserati and steak donuts, and, you know, donuts and
money,
you know, yeah, right, you know, it's going to be like that, you know, or some idea, let's say, of, you know, spiritual, you know, maybe, I probably not.
Yeah, right.
So we don't
sitting around in some kind of bliss out.
Yeah. That's right.
Great state where you
if we're the ones that are really answering that question, we're in a lot of trouble. And yet, you know, so many what would you say, schools and therapies of empowerment and embodiment and, right, the secret and, right, are trying to place me, the crazy addict fucker, in a place of empowerment, thinking that I can actually steer my life in a better direction. I'm like, no, I don't, please, no, not that. Right? If you give me the slightest gift of manifestation, things are going to go south so fast. And yet that's what everyone is, you know, everyone, whoever they are, is craving, right? More self-directed power over the quality and of my experience and what appears in my experience. You're like, no, you really don't want that.
I had to go the other way.
That would be the worst idea ever.
I kind of go the other way because, like, whenever things have been bad, it's always in the end turned out really well. And it's funny too, like in the middle of that, you know, Sunday depression, like I'm like, part of me is like, this is great. This is probably gonna end well because every time it did, but you know, again, I just still felt horrible. You know.
Oh sure.
But then like later, you know, I was just, you know, you're talking about, like, oh, what you do to, like, make things good. I, like, sometimes, not always, but occasionally go the opposite direction. I'm like, what if I just, like, cut my leg off? Like,
yeah.
Like,
sure.
Where would I end? No, not like during the depression. Like, just like a normal thought, like, now. Like, what if I just cut my leg off? Like, what new level of happiness would that like? You know? Every time things got really shitty, like, I'm thinking, like,
you might be onto something.
Why does it have the same effect if you're just doing it to yourself willfully? Like, I don't know about this.
The next workshop.
Yeah.
How to get out of your thoughts. Show your leg off. Better yet, show your
partner. We'll start with a toe. You know, and you'll know whether you're getting enough mileage. You could go for the next toe. Yeah, and if you just lose one toe because it didn't work out, then, you know, not that much sacrifice.
Then you can start a dating group for people with one toe.
That try. Yeah. People that try to do something about their thoughts by losing a toe. That'd be an interesting group, like a 12-step group. Mm-hmm. Hi, I lost a toe. Huh? Hi, Fred. Yeah, I'm Fred. I lost a toe. Yeah, so did we. Hi, Fred.
Yeah.
That's a good group.
I mean, there is that lady who blinded herself, who thought that she, like, was a blind person. Was, like, living a false life and, like, had to blind herself.
Yeah.
That's not the direction I was going. I just wanted something
that's right.
to happen.
Yeah. Maybe it would turn out better. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's why your friends are always a little nervous when you're around. I mean, uh-oh. We're fucking crazy, but that guy's dark. He scares us.
Not particularly
trying to like hit rock bottom, but just like all like the worst things in my life have turned out like really well for me. Like in the end, like okay, like in the middle of the ayahuasca experience, like I went to hell and was there for eternity. It was the worst possible fear ever. Like it wasn't like, you know, other people like go and visit there as a human. It was like I was dead and cast off there like forever with no sense of time. Like it was.
Yeah.
But then like leaving that, you know, I realized like, oh, this was like a complete release from the idea of a person with free will doing things, and this was like the best, you know, happiest, you know, most liberating experience ever. And then like, you know, going back farther, like, you know, as a heroin addict for a while, and that like turned out really well. I mean, after all the years of just the worst, you know, but I did hit rock bottom there, and you know, that's where I found like, you know, spirituality and seeking and all that, and things turned out well, and then
which was just 2 inches to the left of death.
Yeah. I found that I have. I just really take things all the way to the end.
Snowboarding.
No. Trust me, I feel that way all the time. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Like, why do I do these things? But you know, at the same time too, is that like, you know, I had friends who did drugs and they like.
Like you developed a faith about it then somehow.
Well, yeah, because I saw all the people that didn't like they. Would end up like doing drugs for like years and years, like decades, you know. But I was just like, oh, let's just completely grow my life, just burn it up in like 3 years, and then I'll, you know, stop or die, I guess, you know, would be the other option. But you know,
yeah,
I just run things all the way to the to the end, and then
watch the sea put around.
And I had really bad headaches like for the first, you know, well, for like, you know, like age like 6 to like age 26, and that brought me like on a. you know, quest to find, you know, physical healing. And then I did like a, you know, a bunch of things, ended up doing the landmark form, and then, you know, doing the ayahuasca ceremony, or the ceremonies, you know, running, well, not running, but looking for a solution to that. So like that, you know, terrible pain for like 20 years, you know, brought me a lot of, you know, physical and mental emotional healing as well. So like, I feel like, again, all the worst things in my life have just turned out pretty well. So, you know, I have a strange outlook, I guess.
Well, that was a funny story.
It is really weird to, like, contrast the experiences, because, like, you know, now and before then and everything, like, I just, you know, feel so alive, so full of life, and just, like, in 1 second, just is, like, just be, like, gone, like, instantly, like, it's not even, like, something specifically had happened, or, you know, any, it's just, like, bloop, like, you can just go from regular, you know, life to just, like, the worst instantly.
Yeah, right, or the best, if there were one.
Yeah.
As long as you've got the worst, you may as well, you know. A fractalized soup of unpatterned potential is, you know, at your feet, at your fingertips, at the tip of your nose. And it's capable of, let's say, congealing into pattern, recognizable, assertable, associatable, with no delay, with no movement of will in it. And that capacity to for the unpatterned to express as pattern in what's called awareness, or the function of recognition, the function of discovery, suggests the world, all events that occurred prior to now, what we think is happening now, if we do, and where we might hope to be or hope not to be in our imaginary future, absolutely spontaneously, just now. And since we, let's say, rarely catch the deeply nuanced zone where the unpattern goes patterned, we simply believe the artifacts of it having gone into pattern as continuity of self. With with no amount of suspicion. And that, you know, curious, prideful, playful malaise, you know, is running the articulation of the consciousness of humans. Post-pattern recognition. We don't know how to make sense of a curiously observable physics, you know, metaphysics, of the unpatterned becoming patterned with no delay, with no will. And so we make up things like God or the Big Bang. We want to hold something or someone somehow responsible or accountable for the magical nature of, call it consciousness expressed. And then these various forms of idolatry, not just the ones, you know, that happened around the Abrahamic period, but every form of idolatry, including the present presidential election and Russian ships steaming towards Syria, right, become, you know, binding. Just like sensation makes it appear as if you are the possessor of a body, that becomes binding, and memory makes it look as if you're the possessor of former experiences, which becomes binding. If those experiences have been unpleasant, well, that creates aversion. And if those experiences have been pleasant, well, that creates attraction, which is the movement of psychological time. Again, superimposed absolutely impersonally and spontaneously. So then the default identity is an identity that associates with expressed artifacts, which is the patterned. And it can suck from time to time, or if not a lot of the time, depending on your socioeconomic class and how much abuse you've had to suffer in your, you know, family system, how much poverty you've had to suffer in your cultural system, how much malnourishment you've had to suffer in your, right, tribal.
Genital mutilation.
Then we always have genital mutilation to add to the mix, to fall back on. Yeah, so...
You don't even need any of that. Like, I've had like such a normal life on this, such an animal.
Yeah, and you're an animal of suffering, having just lived a normal life. Yeah, I mean, bravo. That's right. We were raised by wolves.
It must have been the drugs.
It's all blacked out. Yeah, it's your first material.
I don't know if I'm in the right place or not.
Probably not.
Did you have an email for that refugee?
No.
No.
Maybe in the red barn.
By next door in the big barn.
It's big barn, this is.
The red barn.
That's that building over there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure. Is that a new guru refugee?
Me?
Wow.
So bad. So we're up against a very let's say curious and potent you know, meta expressive matrix, which is not made of anything at all. So the hallucination of our lives and what's right with them and what's wrong with them occurs, right, as an artifact of this meta hallucination. And still, you know, you could look at the astronomical systems, astrological systems, homeopathic systems, Ayurvedic systems, Taoist systems that make sense, you know, that actually deliver a kind of a cogent cause and effect picture when it comes to your personality or, you know, healing, you know, like how could you, or the tarot, how could you possibly have a system that actually makes cogent sense within the harmonic of a so-called human life itself being absolutely randomized? Look, I mean, either it's absolute chaos or it's not absolute chaos. How is it absolute chaos that can express with revelatory systems that can assist one with healing, with education, with sensitivity, with, you know, prediction of the future? Wait, you know, just give me one truth here. I can't handle that it can do all these things that appear so strangely paradoxical, and yet they're not. Why is the electromagnetic spectrum run from, you know, here to here? Why does manifest so-called consciousness to what we call, you know, this human being, which is a sine wave of various sensitivity plenums? I mean, your eye is capable of seeing this much, right, so-called visible light. Your hearing can go from this wavelength to that wavelength, but not below and not above, right? The sense of touch is miraculously sensitive. I mean, really beyond imagination. There's really no way that the physicality that can be measured within the hand should be capable of the degree of differentiation and sensitivity that it's actually capable of. It doesn't really make sense. Similarly with olfactory powers, I mean, dogs outsmell us like, you know, we can't even conceive of it, and yet we have an appreciation of their, you know, prowess when it comes to olfactory sensitivity. So, why, on third planet from ordinary star, somewhere out in band X of a solar system, look like this? What, carbon? The periodic table? What vibratory signatures are there underneath what's seen as the building blocks of biology and the building blocks of chemistry and physicality? What are those?
Are you just saying we're not what we think we are? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, that, sure. But that's not enough. Yeah. Yeah, just to say that we're not what we think we are, you know, that lands a certain way. But to tease it out.
You got to ramble for 5 minutes.
Well, it teases it out. It opens up your attentivity. It opens your imagination to a different gate. See, that's what we're really toying with, right? Is opening a different texture or a different gate that informs perception. So it can't be conclusory.
Like you're reminding?
Yes, it's a form of reminding. Yeah.
It's like taking you on a little imaginary ride, you know, inside, like energetically, and for me, you know, visually, like the whole thing is a experiential.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's a journeying process. The reminding is a journeying process. It's not conclusory. It's open. It's improvisational. But that doesn't mean you're not what you think you are is any less true. Just if I say you're not what you think you are, you know, fuck you! Right? So, therefore, it's more, at least I find it more thrilling, personally speaking, to, you know, get a little lift off. to open the portal of one's imagination is very important because, you know, we may typically use our imagination in, well, you know, habitual ways. And part of the so-called healing and journeying of this is to open the spigot on the gates or potential of imagination, the potential of expressive creation and expressive expression, so that you're breathing a different way, not just finding a conclusion that is suitable to who or what you took yourself to be.
Fun.
Yeah, it is. It's fun.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've all, many of us in this room, have spent enough time, you know, on a meditation cushion in, you know, the agreement of silence, doing Vipassa Fakananda or, you know, some other form of mindfulness. So, yeah, we know that. We know the texture of that kind of, you know, easeful, contemplative quietude, which is, you know, nourishing and maddening in its own right. And this is a more salon style. A conversational approach to realization. Direct encounter with realization, whatever that might be. You could say the challenge is habituation. We're capable of habituating to even remarkable insights remarkably quickly. Mm-hmm. And then enrolling those remarkable insights into a catalog of, you know, formerly held experience. And so we fall asleep then.
Because it's still just in the same container?
Yes, that's right. Because we're capable of finding remarkable insights and including them in our container. Mm-hmm. Kind of like... someone that works at a marijuana dispensary is called a budologist or something. You know, they are. You know, if you go see a bartender or, you know, or a sommelier, right? You're a mixologist, right? You're seeing someone that's skilled in the art of spirits, right? Bud tenders, they're called.
Yeah, no, trichome.
Trichome experts.
Experts in
trichome and, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Smell and indica, sativa, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, butt tender. Yeah. So, you know, and they've got this these beautiful, you know, buds in a jar, right? And you know the bud has, it's a seed of remarkable, let's say, you know, perception and euphoria and strange textures, but it's, you know, it's locked in a jar, right? So that's, we're the same way. We get locked in a jar. And I mean, you know, the culture, the news, the media, our friends and family, our employer, our clients, our whomever, everyone is very happy out of, you could say, by default, political correctness to lock themselves and everybody else, you know, in a jar, which gives us a very narrow bandwidth, more or less, with which to relate.
You put your little name tag on it and then you take it around with you. Yeah. Every once in a while you put new stuff in, take stuff out.
Yeah. The part of the challenge is you take that remarkable quietude and sensitivity that is the hallmark of a cogent, nourishing, noticing, right, focusing session, right, out into the big space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
So we can't go back to work.
It can happen. I know a few people, maybe even in this room, that have a hard time working.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens. Risky fucking business, this is. It just is. Well, it's also kind of a question of, loyalty. Not that that's necessarily voluntary. But we're loyal to our responsibilities and obligations as a, participating member of the social fabric. So my wardrobe is put together, and my coif is put together, and my toilet is put together, and my ability to get to and from my job and pay my taxes and enjoy myself and go bowling when it's time is all well put together. And that's wonderful, being sober in that way is... it's additive. It doesn't suck. But this is the Wild West. This is the wild frontier. Consciousness is not necessarily going to be, pleased or displeased with how it's wearing you. And if it has something else in mind, there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. It's going to wear you as it pleases, not as you wish. So your loyalty then is forced, to shift. And it can shift with great resistance, or it can shift, with a little more ease. And then we're obviously not in charge of that either, right? Yeah. As this consciousness does what it does and opens the way that it opens through the focusing discipline and many others, of course, it's not loyal to what we would call the conventional social fabric, right? It's wild. It's crazy. It's untamable.
Why do you call it wild and crazy?
I wonder why I do that.
I don't know.
Well, in contrast...
In relationship to the way that we live.
Yes. So, Right.
It's scaring me. It's like...
It's good.
It's
not
scary
shirt.
I'm like...
Far be it for me to scare you. But. Yeah. No, it's wild and crazy. It will take you down.
Oh, yeah.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Be afraid. Absolutely.
I don't know. How long have you been on Earth? I mean, you've observed the same shit I have.
I'm not following.
I hear you. I mean, I get it. Yeah. Well,
isn't it just wild and crazy and whatever if you're not able to go with it? Like you with your, with that whatever had hold of you and that you were... had difficulty just joining with it, whatever that was that was bringing you down.
You mean Sunday, the depression on Sunday?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would say wild and crazy. I'm like fully aware now that like there's nothing stopping that from happening again and then not stopping.
Absolutely.
I was hit with that belief or unbelief that just took it away, and where did that come from? And it just came upon me, where did that come from? It could just do whatever it wants at any time. That seems pretty wild to me.
He's in. I thought maybe I turned in a bad,
It's just madness.
It's like if you were ever talking to yourself in your life, you would be upset about it.
Well,
right?
Yes, but I feel like even to that, at that level of attachment can come and go without without my okaying it. I could just one moment be like, oh, this is the worst, and
think not about everything. It's not about you. It's about her. What?
Well, she asked me.
What would what I know? It's a deflection. What would frighten you? What could possibly frighten or intimidate you? Through, let's say, the playful implication of it being wild and crazy.
The scariest thing.
What would I forget what the conversation even started.
No.
Like what?
Well, you took a playful, may I say, umbrage with the what I was saying as wild and crazy.
Wild and crazy. Right.
So it sounded like maybe, you know, consciousness was perfectly sanguine in your experience, always has been, is now, and that you might expect it to be always sanguine going forward. And there was a little bit of a, you know, tilt on your part. And again, this is just playful conversation. I'm not holding it to you. Right? Yeah. That is there something in you, and I'm not singling you out because we're all terrified of it being wild and crazy. Yeah, let's say consciousness were wild and crazy. And also capable of being perfectly sanguine, with no, you know, perturbance in the field.
I don't know. The only thing I can imagine is like it's a being of some sort. You know, it's the only way I can imagine what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. There's a certain kind of anthropomorphization.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I don't know how to imagine it.
You know, that's a good way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so, but that doesn't seem like the way is what I'm trying to say.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah.
So if I'm is the only way I can imagine it, and it's wild and crazy, I'm not particularly interested in that.
Good luck.
But I don't believe that that's the way it is either.
Right.
That it.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah. How confident are you in that belief?
That it's not an entity like that? Like I'm imagining it?
Yeah.
How confident am I?
And even entity is, you know, it might not be entity in the way that we might, right, associate. In other words, a willful, predeterministic, choosing, you know, wildness that acts like we do, or like a supernatural, right, elemental might act.
Mm-hmm.
That's a certain quality of anthropomorphization.
Uh-huh.
So could it be also wild and crazy without it having to be, you know, anthropomorphized as something other than you? Could it just be so unpredictable, right? So strangely.
I don't think unpredictable.
That's not wild and crazy. Unpredictable doesn't. Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean that. No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's created then.
Yes, I think that's right. Yeah, I think wild and crazy is in one way maybe an exaggeration, just for fun, of creative.
Create, yeah.
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 That I can swallow.
Yeah, that you can go there. We always have a safe word and a safe house at the Night Sky Sangha. Regalsville. That is pretty scary. That's pretty scary.
Is this a safe house in Regalsville?
Yeah, it's right near the post office.
Scariest thing of all.
Well, the, you know, the spontaneous, creative, impersonal way in which consciousness is doing what it does, expressing the way it's expressing, being felt in the way that we feel life being lived, is, you know, that's, could we say, well beyond our capacity for agreement or disagreement or cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm saying wild and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Meaning unpredictable, like you said.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, unpredictable and unmanageable. Yeah, unpredictable and unmanageable.
Not one's control.
Yes.
Not
Absolutely.
Yeah, out of one's control.
I know, but you're all like looking like you're scared or something.
Because of that. Yeah, no, we're thrilled by it. You're the one that's scared.
I wasn't all scared by it. You were trying to say it was scary. Then you were saying you sounded scary.
Oh, okay. No, I wouldn't want to.
That's what I thought you were saying. That was scary. Just didn't you say that? You said it was like, oh, that was.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, sure.
And
inside of
me,
there's a level.
Yeah. Kind of like Mr. Bill.
No, I didn't pick that from anybody else. Maybe I put that out there because I'm just, you know, at the place where it's like you could just.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess that's a perfectly natural response to just be scared by
even,
it. But then, too,
even
it's
something
also,
that happened 7 minutes ago is impossible to decipher. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that, like, thought or idea brings, like, you know, great joy and laughter.
Well, aren't we just trying to ignore that fact?
Which fact?
That this consciousness is creative and unpredictable and out of our control?
Yes. I think we could say that in, you know, what we would call a conformist or familiar consciousness, we manage not to be sensitive.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. 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 When when everyone gets into the elevator, I mean, they more or less turn forward and press their floor. You know? Consciousness is not crazy.
Consciousness is not crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, you could say it's just.
Like crazy, you mean out of our control.
Yeah, crazy in a fun way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, genocides and global warming and species extinction is creative.
By us?
No, we're not. It's not by our hand.
We're not creating them?
No.
No.
No. If this is impersonal and creative, then you're appearing as an artifact of, right, a singularity. You're not really in possession of self-will or choice. Though it may feel that way, and does, often enough. But if we're really delving into the subtle textures of discovery where focusing goes therapeutically, then it seems to me that that would also, you know, be friendly toward a view that you're being played. Consciousness is playing you. Consciousness is, you know, consciousness is wearing you like a sweater. And although you're having a remarkable experience, or not, that's absolutely mysteriously appearing. And there's nowhere to be found what you call self-will, choice, anywhere at all. That's how improvisationally this is occurring from moment to moment. Maybe, maybe not.
I feel like post Sunday's lesson,
yeah,
it really brought to my attention that, like, you know, post Peru, you know, I was happy to give up, like, negative beliefs, you know what I'm saying? Like, this, you know, I was giving them all away. But at the same time, it seemed like there was, without me noticing, like, a new, like, personality type, like, calcifying around the, like,
that's right,
new position as, like, a good person giving these things up.
Yeah.
And whatever previously held, like, good beliefs I had, but then.
Yeah.
All the, you know, stuff happened on Sunday. Well, it was just like, now I need to, like, well, the good side has begun, like, unburdening itself as
yes,
well.
Yes, sure.
It's just like the whole good, bad, you know, whatever type of belief. It's just. It's
fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
To coin a phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're looking at this, you know, I mean, spoken experientially, somewhat psychiatrically, anecdotally about, you know, deep, call it, you know, processes and one's whatever. And crazy comes to my mind, you know. In part for fun, because, you know, I have a devotional bent. I can anthropomorphize that crazy and give it, you know, animus as, you know, spirit, because it's fun to do that, you know, like Mother Kali, you know, she'll just rip your fucking head off and you love it. So there's something very friendly, at least in my experience, about anthropomorphizing and animating these curious forces that show up as the wackadoo in the so-called life, and, you know, calling it the Divine Mother for, like, you know, just the lust of it. Yeah. I don't take it so seriously that I start drawing images of the Divine Mother on the walls with, you know, permanent markers and then burn the couch. I know people that are capable of that. But so it's all playful. But it can be wildly playful, you know. It can be thrillingly, if not threateningly, playful. Because this does, I mean, God is a homicidal maniac, serial homicidal maniac. Everyone goes down. Yeah. So it's you're not necessarily coming out of this alive. You don't get out of this alive. You know? So it has a kind of a thrilling quality about it, which can feel like otherness. And that rocks.
Otherness?
Yes.
What do you mean by that? It can feel like otherness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when the universe was occurring inside you, you could say, well, there was no otherness then.
No otherness. Uh-huh.
Right? But if the universe, if it appears as if you're occurring as a creature in the volume called the universe, there's a fuckload of otherness.
Gotcha.
Right? Hi. It's like that curious moment where, you know, a gnarly depression has got you by the ankles, came upon you suddenly with no warning, was profoundly reminiscent of places you've been in the past that you hope never to go again. And then, you know, the thrashing about of trying to respond to it creatively, because it wasn't your idea of a good Sunday, right? And yet, the way that it left was like an Aikido move that you didn't do, right?
Yeah.
It came as weirdly as it came, stayed for as long as it stayed, and left pretty much spontaneously.
Yeah, someone just came in, put on the worst movie ever, and then they just came in and broke the disc on the phone.
Yeah. And in the past, you know, from borrowing from your experience, you know, if that had come to visit and stayed, that would have been some, you know, loathsome shit going down.
Yeah.
But it didn't. It just, you know, woo, right, woo, doosh, gone. And how do we account for, you know?
I must have said something earlier that you referred to. I don't know what you were saying that you saw. I don't want to say something again that upset you. Something upset you about what I was talking to you about this before, so I'm not sure what that was. Yeah.
He doesn't get upset by anything. he's seen the devil. We can't scare him. Really.
You talk as if some thing has come upon you and taken over you.
Have you ever had a clinical depression of that depth?
Indeed.
Okay, then. Okay.
So, I didn't know. I guess what I'm hearing, too, is I thought you were all agreeing that that's what happened.
We agree with everything everyone says.
With what?
With everything everyone says, yeah. Yeah, it's a field of absolute agreement.
It's
very confusing. Yeah. It starts there, and then it gets worse.
Perhaps that's just my way of communicating.
I don't agree.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
With what?
With what you're like, I don't know if that's what I'm hearing. Oh. It sounds like to me, I'm hearing something that, you know, as if something came upon you one Sunday and held on to you and some force outside of yourself. And,
well, that's...
And then it let you go, like, that's the way I'm hearing you describe it. I feel like I'm listening to a sci-fi movie or something.
Yeah.
And putting down your decision. Or
what do you think you woke up to this morning? Yeah. The world? It is. It's a sci-fi movie. Isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ready for that question, but...
You're right. I love your boundaries. I love them.
Brothers, so...
Oh, yeah. Understood. Sure.
Pain brings strength.
Yeah, see? Yeah, pain brings strength. You're right.
And the ability to defend yourself.
Yeah, the pet defend yourself with humor is good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, so the question's on the table. Was that a thing outside or other than yourself that came upon you
I'm
and then...
I'm asking if that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because I'm just hearing that. I'm not sure if that's what you're saying.
Well, it was his experience, so we'll defer to him.
You're saying it, too.
I think she means in general the way we're talking about...
The way you're
about
viewing his experience.
The experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I view it that way, but that's...
Like
I'd be scared too if I viewed that way.
Oh, you'd be, yeah, there you go, back to the scary part, yeah. I know, but if it wasn't that, what was it then? Was it something that circumstances brought about, that he brought about? Again, I'm not necessarily anthropomorphizing it as entity.
Well, that's what I was asking.
But he had nothing to do with it, not the visitation, not the response to try to get out from under its influence, and not the spontaneous lifting of it.
But I think you're saying you're seeing it more as like an entity, like that came
over. No, I'm not seeing it that way. I feel like you guys are you're saying that you see it that way. That's what I'm asking. I'm just asking for clarification if that's the way you're describing it and seeing it.
Okay.
And I understood you just clarified.
Yeah.
That you are.
How would you see it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. I don't like the way you're seeing it, so I'm thinking about that.
Okay. And I respect that.
Because I don't like the way you're seeing it. I don't like the way you're seeing it either. Because So how would I see it? I'll get back to me.
Go. Okay, all right. Yeah. I hear you.
But not that way.
No, I. Well.
I'm clear about.
Yeah. Yeah. For now, you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting. I mean, what is a good horror movie, you know, made from? You know, what frightens us? If it's not just injury to body, you know, it's powerlessness, surprise, right? Unfriendly, you know, entities that are other than ourselves that can do us, you know, some kind of harm that we can't defend ourselves against.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that shockwave. You know, a lot of people go to those movies to have that shockwave, and a good horror movie gives it to them in spades, you know? And some of us, and I certainly appreciate the response, are not so comfortable with something that is outside of us, other than us, that has, you know, unfriendly intentions.
Well, seemingly that's his interpretation of it, with the unfriendly.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying, your interpretation of it. You said all bad things turn good. I don't know. So, you know, that's
what's crazy here.
I feel like if you're selling something,
you're not buying.
Don't have me around. I'm not a good salesman. No. But yeah, my experience, like, you know, is it this way or that way? I don't really know, but it just seemed in that moment to, like, some force came upon me and then left. I mean, that was...
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It doesn't always seem like that. Most of the time it seems like I'm just doing some shit, like I need to do this, I need, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right. But that was a visit of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in your own experience of, you know, unpleasant, afflictive, you know, times. Yeah, so. I know. I'm not trying to, you know.
Yeah. My memory.
Right, yeah. I'm not trying to re-trigger anything. But, I mean, just in, well, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's almost like you're, let me think. I hear, again, you can always correct my perception of what you're saying, but I feel like you're describing, when you were describing consciousness earlier, and we had that little discussion about that, that you're, it almost feels like they're, you're saying they're like the same thing. Like that, that
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that, like, it's wild, it's crazy, it has a life of its own, but you have no control over it. Like, that's the same thing as what you're, I feel like what you were saying before.
Yeah. Yeah, which is ordinary life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 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 You know, the mirthful nature of ordinary life.
Yeah, we just tell stories around it to make it, like, more dramatic.
Or less dramatic.
Yeah.
Or less dramatic.
To make it seem more like, no, this is normal.
Chewable or...
Mm-hmm.
Just
like,
yeah.
Right.
A sign.
Dumb it down.
I know, it's very, I mean, it is paradoxical because we, I mean, our language, imprinting on, you know, parents coming into the world, we're very, you know, sensitive to pattern recognition, you know, smiles, aroma, right, safe touch, food, humor, getting our attention needs met, you know, as an infant and into adulthood. Right, so we're kind of we're driven that way. It's a you know, I mean, it's a kind of a tribe, call it a tribal harmonic. You know, we feed off of each other, we give to and receive from each other various forms of affection. Oftentimes, that affection is positive. Too often, perhaps in our world, it's not. and it's an ongoing you know, explosion of encounter, of engagement. On all these levels, you know, psychiatric and behavioral and emotional and somatic and spiritual and things that, you know, please us, things that don't. In a, wild is a sense of it being untamable, right? Untamable.
Mm-hmm. So just along for the ride?
Is?
I said, so just along for the ride?
Who? We? Uh-huh. We are along for the ride?
Yeah, I'm asking. That's what you're saying. Just along for the ride.
Well, in one
respect...
Yeah, in one respect, yes. To the, if we are creatures born of, you know, our parents' seeds into a pre-existing universe called Earth, where we breathe the invisible gas and take chlorophyll, you know, from the plants, so the mitochondria can Krebs up and give us, you know, little shock waves that keep us so-called alive, then you could say we're along for the ride. That would be the creature view. You're born, right? You're a biologic entity. You're unique. Along for the ride. That's one way to play it. Another is, whatever this is, you are. No other. And it can express in all the curious ways it does. It can create boundary fields that look like you're an individual creature.
So then if it's wild, I wouldn't need to be afraid of it.
In that case, absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or creative, I like.
Yes. Not, no, yeah.
Wildly creative.
Wildly.
Right, I mean, you know, the typical human suffers from too great a deal of conscious and unconscious and semi-conscious fear and bracing. And
no.
Conscious, right?
he's free.
No,
he's the real deal. Posers, real deal.
You want to hear something weird about 3 minutes ago, right? You two are talking, and I'm trying to think about how to describe my experience. And the weirdest sensation I've ever felt sort of building up in me, and it literally felt like my entire, like, idea of a person was, like, being pulled out of my body and, like, being killed. And I felt like the most... Do I look pale right now? No? I thought the color was starting to come back on my face. But it feels like, yeah, like I was being, like, pulled out, and something was, like, beginning to, like...
Yeah.
Like,
sound of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm like very introverted. I'm like, just don't touch, don't move. Nobody knows how fucked up you are. Like,
you tell everybody all the time. What do you mean nobody knows?
Well, at the time.
You've got here. You've got to leave somewhere.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
He presents one way and then tries to tell you something else about himself. Curious guy.
So familiar.
Yeah. How do you do that?
Yeah, normally I...
Well, that's it. There's, you know, you could say there's a ferocious, I'm animating again, a ferocious, you know, insatiable tractor beam that is wants to kill you.
I literally
you
like
kill
I
your idea of self.
Like flash, like I don't know, like just
yeah.
It was not like a bad. It was oh man, and I just was like no, we're being calm, everything's good. Just pull myself back together, and I was just like we're good.
Yeah,
we're kind of good
now.
Yeah.
Ayahuasca the whole time.
There, no, there was just
trying to pull you. Kept you trying
there was no way to repair yourself.
In the ayahuasca, it was just like I've made the worst mistake of my life. I'm in hell forever.
Like quit eating.
And it was like try to escape, but like every action was like part of that prison. So I was just like turn left, turn right. Like even think about it was just like I was out of options. Like to even consider escape from that prison.
Awesome. The same description as the depression you were talking about. You're describing the same thing.
Sort of, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what like the ultimate realization I had regarding the ayahuasca experience is like weeks later after finishing it, I realized that like oh I'm still now in there. It's just colored different, and I experience time, and it's not like watching the whole universe implode. It's just like, no, it's still there, you know. And now it's just coming in other forms, like depressions and heart attacks and me, like, dying.
Yeah.
That was so scary right there. That was so, oh, man.
Nice.
Yeah. Well done.
No, I was like, don't move. Don't let anyone know that you're having a meltdown right now.
Right. Yeah, I'm having a spontaneous psychic meltdown.
Yeah, because part of me is like, it's like
I'm not even
going to
raise
crazy,
my hand.
You know, or, you know, I don't, you know, maybe this is like really something's happening, or you don't want to have some sort of like, I don't know, Kundalini event in front of everybody, or, you know.
Right.
I'm just like, just remain calm. Yeah.
Melt.
It's all good.
Yeah, that's, we'll just roll you up in the rug and throw you back in the car. It's all right. We don't have at least one stroke or something. It's not a good group.
Have you had one this year?
No.
Actually.
Did we?
No, we didn't. It was a heart attack, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Close. And you had a mini stroke at the thing where you had to pour cocoa
beer. Oh, God.
A can of cocoa beer.
Yeah, that's right. Someone else's Coke. Was it even mine? That's how bad. That's how bad that was. Does Eugene get into heretical territory at all? Is he that chill that...
He's so chill.
He's that chill,
yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. He was talking about death tonight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In the way he talks about anything.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I mean, he's a relaxed guy.
He is.
That focusing thing is... It's relaxed. Well, I was, we're all forged in a different kiln, right? This is only one thing, and yet every perceivable, creature is forged in its own kiln with its own curious mix of mud and glaze. When you go to India and run into a wild guru, a jungle guru that wild creatures eats from his hands and stuff like that, you're forged in a certain kind of oven, if you survive it. And so that's you could say that's just your karmic luck of the draw. The dice roll a certain way, you encounter the remarkable people and remarkable experiences that you are, let's say, for fun, destined to encounter. And they all contribute to the way that you, the way you roll, the way you wake up, the way you express yourself. I have a little hyena in me, I think.
Funny.
This is, my experience of the, you know, the spiritual journey, the arc, is that it's unnerving. It's cathartic. It sneaks up on you. It makes it look like you're in hell when you're really being, you know, polished for a remarkable insight. Mm-hmm. You know? And so there's a certain kind of thrillingness.
Facetious?
No, not at all. No.
Because you were making fun of insights earlier, so just not.
Yeah. Sure. Well, you know, you use one word then, and then you use it again later, and it's not the same intention, of course. Yeah.
I mean, I can sort of at least speak to that in my own experience, because like at the time I was like, oh, this great insight that had its impact, but then like, you know, months later when the depression hits, I'm like, now I will take this insight and use it to help me. And it's just like,
yeah,
it just falls apart. It becomes another like, you know, trap, right. I guess. Or
I think, you know, when we meet an interesting person or teacher or mentor, you could say there's a certain kind of instinct to emulate.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We emulate with our parents and our siblings and our school teachers and our pets. You know, we mimic. We emulate. That's one way that we, you know, learn. We mimic. We see how a certain thing feels, how it's worn, how other people relate to us as we're mimicking. And then we learn a certain kind of set of behaviors which make it look like we're functioning according to, survivability instinct. So when you meet interesting people or mentors in your life, some terrifying ones or, you know, so-called benevolent, benign ones, it leaves a certain kind of residue. It leaves a mark in your, call it soul, in your karmic pattern.
Imprint.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, perhaps your fondness of focusing and your direct teacher and the kinds of lovely things that Eugene has to share is, you know, it's part of a karmic predilection. It speaks to you, right? Feeds you a certain way. And then there's always that quality of, you know, emulating it. But that can also be a danger, right? Because you are you, and you might meet an influential person or group or conversation or book, and there's that kind of instinct to want to mimic or emulate, but it's not really true to how you roll. And then that can create some interesting waves where I'm trying to be like that which I'm witnessing because I love it so much. I have a natural affection, but I'm not like that. So I have to kind of figure out how to extract the juice from the person or the teaching and figure out how I'm going to wear it. That's when, the teacher throws you out. Yeah, that's when you get thrown out. Which is a sad and blissful day. Happens to everybody. David Carradine was practicing for years and years to snatch the acorn out of his master's hand. Remember the TV show?
I just remember this.
Well, that's where it ended up. What was it called again?
Kung Fu.
Kung Fu. Remember Kung Fu from years ago on TV? Might not have been your thing.
That wasn't my thing.
Okay. David Carradine, who was not Asian, portrayed, you know, an Asian student. Oh, I think he'd lost his parents. And so he was raised by, you know, high altitude samurai, you know, monks that were masters of martial arts and, you know, all kinds of things. And so for years he studied because he was a young child being raised by these, you know, masters of the craft. One of them was blind and could hit a bird at, you know, 100 yards with a rock. he was blind. He's, you know, see through everything. So he was raised by these miraculous, you know, mentors. And so all his life he was training to snatch, you know, a rock or a pebble out of his master's hand to see if he was quick enough to do it. So finally, as an adult, he could. Next day, he was out in the snow, right? And he had to put the mark of the Kung Fu dragons on his forearms by lifting a vessel that was loaded with hot coals. So the steel was as hot as could be, and he had to lift it with his forearms, so it scarred his forearms with the mark of the dragon. And he's screaming as he lifts it, and he had to lift it, put it aside, and then he goes through the threshold. He goes through the threshold, which means he left the temple to fall down in the snow to cool his arms off, and he couldn't get back in.
Yeah.
That's where this is going. So if that's not a little wild, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Fresh snow.
Yeah, really, fresh snow. Make sure always have fresh snow around, because you never know when you have to lift a burning thing.
But why are you talking about that?
I don't know.
Talking about anything.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a train of thought extending from teacher.
I know.
Enamored by teacher and image projected outward.
Well,
I meant the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it's the catharsis of. It's the catharsis of going through this, call it, you know, the awakening arc, and which is, you know, totally do it yourself, even though you have no control over any aspect of it. And at any point, you might be visited by something that literally, you know, sucks the self right out of your head.
Although whatever it is that's experiencing that isn't two things. See, that's what I find interesting. You can't have two things in one experience. There's only one experience. It might have a gazillion facets.
Yes, you know. Sure. I mean, that's the philosophy, you know.
No, I mean, it's like, in fact, I like this. The conversations I've heard here, because I'm reminded of that.
Yeah.
When I start thinking about the thinker is wondering about how to fix this and adjust that and where should I go, it can kind of get a little, you know. Distracting or heavy.
Sure.
And then I go to the zone where it's like, oh, I don't have to fix anything. I don't have to adjust anything. I don't have to understand anything.
No.
I don't have to improve anything. I don't have to unimprove anything.
You could put yesterday's underwear on again.
No, I don't know.
Well, you draw the line.
I graduated from that class. Clean is good.
There's this marvelously quiescent, sanguine sacredness about present experience. And then, you know, there's the inebriating side of it. And there's no right quarrel or conflict between the really speechless sacred and the, you know, playful inebriation. How you wear it, how it wears you.
You gotta go soon. House duty.
What kind of chores do you have at this hour?
It's called Lisa Schenk.
Oh, talk about chores.
No, actually, it's been a good service.
Marvelous.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for stopping in, and send her our warm regards. When can we take her out for lunch?
What's that?
When can we go out to lunch?
Probably the next inquiry this Sunday, maybe.
Oh, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Super. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So thanks for your service.
Yeah, and I had counsel.
As a member of council.
Yeah.
Isn't there a crocodile comeback? The brunch with crocodile?
Yeah.
In a wild crocodile?
In a wild crocodile.
All right, good. never forget that again. How's it going so far?
What?
Coming to this.
I'm introverted too. It takes me a while to process things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, take all the time you need. You know, you're welcome never to see us again, and that's understood. we experience that often. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, this is a, you know, it's a very informal, you know, voluntary / involuntary way of hanging out.
Uh-huh.
And it looks, you know, no one could have predicted who would come this evening or what would be spoken of. So it's, you know, it's improvisational in its nature. It's a salon style of just chilling the fuck out.
Interesting idea about chilling out.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, I'm a, I have a, you know, everyone's got their animal, right? I have like badger animal. Yeah. So,
it's your spirit animal.
It's not pleasant, really. It's not. But if you got it, you got it.
Yeah.
One of the things the badger energy does is it will find just instinctually.
Smell it.
It'll just smell whatever's going on that's like.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit putrid, and then antagonize that.
Yep.
I'm just built that way. I mean, I can't tell you how many groups I've been thrown out of, and for good reason.
I believe.
Yeah. So since this is a, you know, a friendly, more or less undefended cathartic enterprise, if you any one of us, you know, participates in it, then. You know, whatever is even slightly standing out as a position or an orientation is just going to get fucking hammered. Mm-hmm. in a kind of a loving, curious, you know, involuntary way.
Don't hold on to anything.
No, that's it. It's really like, it really hurts not to cling. I hate it. Yeah, that's it. It hurts not to cling. Or hurts to cling, and it hurts to be taught not to cling. And that's what this is, and has always been. Whether it was the Buddha under the, you know, the tree, or Christ in the circle, or any of them, it's always been about that, a cathartic movement through anything that's withheld, any position taken, right? Any remaining pridefulness of, you know, call it will or doership. And this is just going to crawl right into wherever that is and lean on it. And that's what makes this really fun and also, you know, it maddening and intimate in a very strange way without really getting into anyone's personal shit. Nothing is processed in the way that, let's say, a therapeutic agreement might process. This is like everyone's allowed to be absolutely private, tight-lipped, as they want to be, but the energy of this will just find wherever I'm holding on to a thing that I think makes me safe or portrays me in a certain way to myself or the universe or other people, and this shit's going to fucking hammer that. And that's, I don't know. And I absolutely appreciate from firsthand experience that it's not necessarily pleasant. It's thrilling, but it's not necessarily pleasant. So people will come and go according to their, you could say, their karma or capacity to participate in a circle that does that. That's pretty...